seat, we want to move now into our time of proclamation and preaching and teaching. We are delighted to have the Reverend Emmanuel Bujali not only preach his first sermon here at the Shiloh Baptist Church, but he is also coming before our congregation, having been recommended by me and affirmed by the congregation to be the new director of the Congregational Care Ministry of the Shiloh Baptist Church. I want you to give him a big hand of encouragement. The Reverend Bujali is a native of Haiti, and so we bless the Lord. He will certainly share where from and how the Lord has moved him to this place in his life. He has been in the United States since 1985, and we thank the Lord, almost 30 years. And in these 30 years, God has used him from everything, from being a school teacher where he met many members of this congregation, including a mother he adopted and who adopted him, Mother Betty Carter Lacey and the Lacey family. He has gotten to know many of you in variety of capacities, but going from a school teacher, he heeded the call of ministry upon his life, went to seminary at Princeton Theological Seminary, earned a Master's of Divinity degree in 2006, and is just about 5 months away from completing his doctorate of ministry degree at the New Brunswick Theological Seminary. So I'm calling those things that are not yet as if they were, the Reverend Dr. Emmanuel Bujali, because I believe the Lord has that for him in his ministry. He is married to a lovely wife, Sister Felicia. She is here today, and I'm sure he will introduce his lovely bride. They are the proud parents of two children, Jean and Emmanuel, and he currently serves as the chaplain supervisor at the Albert Wagner Youth Correctional Facility in Bordentown, where he has been serving there for the last 5 years. Without further ado, I present, not for the last time, but for the first time, the Reverend, soon-to-be Dr. Emmanuel Bujali. Put your hands together and give God a praise offering for him. He's coming to give what the Lord has given him.
He is coming back. And since he is coming back, I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I greet you with joy, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoice, like the Apostle Paul said, rejoice always. You are unemployed, rejoice. You lost your job, rejoice. Pain in your body, rejoice. For weeping may endure for a night. But joy, joy comes in the morning. This morning I want to thank Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, one more time. And I want to thank all the saints of Shiloh Baptist Church, the leaders, the deacons, the deaconesses, the trustees, the ushers, and all of you who have made Shiloh a church on the hill, brightening the life of those who live in this community and beyond. I want to give thanks to my pastor, my friend, Reverend Armstrong, for inviting me to stand behind the sacred desk this morning on this Lord's Day. I also want to thank my wife, who is here with me this morning. And sometimes I ask myself, how does she understand my accent? Because most of the time, my accent gets on the way. And when I look at her, I say, my God, how does she understand it? But God bless her. She's a native of North Carolina, and she's here with me this morning. And hey, Bush, can you please send Bush? And as I have a friend of mine, we work together in the correctional facility, and he is serving the army, and he became a correction officer for the last 25 years, and he's also a minister, and we're always ministering to the brothers at the prison, and he's kind enough to come. Officer Todai, can you please stand? No, Minister Todai. Thank you. But all of these, my brothers and my sisters, we are going to celebrate Black history. And I'm reminded that Professor Albert Raboteau, a Princeton University historian, stated that white Christians make their journey across the Atlantic and they claim they found the land where flow milk and honey. The new Israel, the promised land. But while blacks make their journey also across the Atlantic to find themselves in an Egyptian bondage. But there the blacks, through Jim Crow and all form of barriers, not only they left the Egyptian bondage, but they were able to elect and re-elect the first black president in the United States of America. It seems to me that the journey continues. The struggle is not over. Please, let's pass the lantern to our children and grandchildren so they can know and learn their heritage. For we are living in a strange world. We are living in a world where we don't even know the next door neighbor's name. We are living in a world where we are afraid of letting our children go to play with the children down the street. We are living in a strange world. We are living in a world where some of us are even afraid to go outside to pick up the newspaper in the morning. We are living in a strange world. We are living in a world where school used to be a safe haven for our children, where parents can go to work freely and go on their work quietly. But now we have some people going to school and start shooting at our children. We are living in a strange world. We are living in a strange world. Even in Trenton, we were about to have our own school shooting. If it was not by the grace of God that the taxi cab driver was alert enough to ford it and call the authorities. Last December, between Spring and Pennington, we have 9 homicides right here in our own backyard. But the good news is there is a word from the Lord. The word is found in the gospel according to Mark. Chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. The Gospel according to Mark. Chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. I'm reading from the King James Version. Those of you who can stand, please stand for the reading of the Word of God. And immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. The him means Jesus. The Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast. And the angel ministered unto him. This is the word of God for the people of God. I want you to pray with me on the subject, ministry in the midst of danger. Ministry in the midst of danger. This is God who come before you this morning to give you thanks and praise for all that you have done for us and what you are going to do for us. We want to give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, for while we were yet sinners, He came and died on an old rugged cross to give us life and give us life more abundantly. And for that, we want to say thank you. We want to say thank you for the call that you have placed on each and every one of us who are here, and especially for the mission that you have placed in the heart of Shiloh Baptist Church. Not only to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in Trenton, New Jersey, but in Africa, in Haiti. We want to say thank you. We want to say thank you for the beautiful, harmonious, angelic voice of the choir, and for the youth of this church, who is the hope and the future for tomorrow. Bless them, guide them, brighten them. Keep them in your hand. Put your arm around them. Bless the parents who are guiding them so all of us can rejoice in your name. Now, we are going to speak your word. Pour your Holy Spirit on all of us who are here. Open our heart and mind so you can send us. And if we can answer, here I am, Lord, send me. And we ask all of this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. The good news, my brothers and my sisters, this morning, when you live in a strange time and in a strange land, is the fact that the writer of this gospel, namely Mark, seems to suggest that the only begotten Son of God began his ministry in the midst of danger. And it is not by accident that he is suggesting that. And when we look, let's look with me on Mark chapter 1, verse 13. Notice what the Bible says. Please put it, commit that to memory. He said he was there, Jesus was there, tempted with Satan and was with the wild beast. In other words, Satan was on the right and the wild beast were on the left. And you all know that the definition of Satan is he is like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. So the writer is telling you and I that ministry is not in the comfort of our four walls. We come here to sharpen one another. We come here to worship and fellowship with one another. But that we are called to go into the strange land. And Shiloh Baptist Church is not, Shiloh Baptist Church is not afraid of the strange land. I was born in Haiti and I was raised under the reign of terror of Papa Doc, for those of you who know him by that nickname. And during that time, anyone was subject to be killed. The only one thing they have to say that you are a communist, regardless of your age. It doesn't matter. As long as you are labeled a communist, there was nowhere to run, no place to hide. So the Totomacut will come to your house, rape the woman, kill the man, and even the dogs. It is what Haiti was. The Totomacut would rob broad daylight. Not at night, broad daylight. They do whatever they want. And what was left is what we call poverty. You can look at poverty in the eyes. You can smell poverty. You can touch poverty. For poverty, leave a long trail of diseases. Tuberculosis for people were malnourished. Dysentery for the water were not purified. Cholera. A long, long, long line of problems. But in the midst of danger, we are called. There was a young lady by the name of Mother Stewart. She heard the call of God by the age of 90 years old. She braved the danger of going to Haiti, knowing that she would find good water, purified water to drink. Knowing that there is no good bed, there is no holiday inn in Haiti where she is going to lay herself. With that uncertainty and the danger that was in Haiti, but because of the call, she answered, she went to Haiti. She went to Haiti because she knows in the midst of danger, that's where God wants you and I to be. And she fed the hungry. She clothed the naked. And one thing about her clothing the naked is when she was leaving Haiti, she asked everyone who were there with her, hey, excuse me, we're going back to the U.S. empty hand. She makes sure that everything that they take there, you are going to leave it in Haiti because they are hungry. We're going to feed them. They are naked. We're going to give them our clothes. For ministry is touching the unlovable. It's reaching out to the unreachable. And Mother Stewart understood it. She understood ministry. And all of us, Shiloh Baptist Church, supported her ministry, which is not hers, which is Jesus Christ, because all of you went to Haiti and do the same and do likewise. Ministry. Two weeks ago, exactly on this day, Shiloh Baptist Church consecrated all of us. I was one of them. All of those who felt that they were called to ministry, we were consecrated. We are not consecrated to only serve at Shiloh. We are consecrated to answer the call of God, for He is the one who has called us.
Yes.
When we're talking about the community, isn't it yesterday? Yesterday, it was snowing. And you know how it was bad. Isn't it at 7 o'clock? People were here responding to the need of those in the community that we are called to serve. So we are doing the ministry in the midst of danger, Pastor Armstrong, because we are called in the midst of that danger. And the second thing that is very important that Mark seems to imply, not only that we are called to minister in the midst of danger, the schedule of ministry is not ours either. We can plan. We can decide, which is a very good thing. That's all we do. We plan, we decide, and we act. But it is the Holy Spirit who takes the realm. Exactly 3 years ago, Shiloh Baptist Church and the team went to Haiti. Very well planned activities, what they were going to do. When they went to the airport, arriving in the airport, the Holy Spirit spoke in their obedience. Since ministry is not theirs, the Holy Spirit decided that He is going to send them somewhere else. And on their way, the ground was shaking. The thunder was rolling. The rocks were falling. The Lord has saved them. And today, they are able, Pastor and all of those who went, are able to give a testimony. Because the Holy Spirit has taken the realm to guide them where He wants them to go. And for them, when to come back, to have a testimony to tell what the Lord has done for them. You cannot have a testimony if the Lord don't give you one. For David is a perfect example. When he was running from King Saul in hiding, David reminded us that we are not our own, for he fell on his knees and claimed, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no." Because his rod has protected us. Today we're not crying, we're not mourning, we are rejoicing because the rod of the Lord has saved our own to let us know that he is the one in charge. Many times we talk about Trenton. I remember a newspaper that I stopped reading for a while, and I still don't read the newspaper. That newspaper, it's the fact that anything that happened in Trenton, that newspaper is very negative. Although that newspaper bears the name of the town, but it's always negative. And one of them that make me stop reading it, it says Inside the Zoo. That's the title of that newspaper, Inside the Zoo. And it was repugnant for me because this he is calling a zoo is a place that educated the mayor of Trenton for 20 years. That place he called a zoo is the place that gave us General Schwarzkopf, whose father was the founder of the state police of New Jersey state police. The place he is calling the zoo is the place that gave us the first African-American mayor of New York City. And you calling that the zoo? You calling that place the zoo when my wife is graduated from that place? No, I'm not going to read that newspaper. No, I'm not. Because I have my wife from that place. You calling it the zoo? And I go there every day till today. You'd never hear the kids has their little mouth. Yes, we understand that. But they never kill a teacher.
That's right.
The mouth, they would give you a mouth, but they would respect the teacher. And you calling that the zoo. And yet, not one of us, I'm not accusing us. It is not an indictment. Provided an adequate response to such a disrespect to an institution that is producing intellectuals, academia, good academia. I can tell you, I cannot tell you how many people I have met at Princeton University, graduated from Trenton Central High School. Brilliant individuals. But when Pastor came 2 months ago with his vision of community, I think and believe that Mark is asking you and I to know that we already have the credibility established. Regardless of who you are, your credibility is established. Regardless of your yesterday.
That's right.
In this little verse, Mark is telling you and I, let's read it again. Mark said, and he was, verse 13, he was there in the wilderness. Jesus was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempting of Satan and the wild beast with him. And look at the credibility, how it is established within that verse. Jesus has the authority. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So therefore, John established Jesus as God. Jesus did not call his angels. The legion of angels that he has under his authority to come and kill Satan or run after the wild beast. He did not pump his authority. Because he is teaching you and I, when we are in a dangerous situation, what do we have to do since the credibility is established? Notice the end, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit take Jesus there and the angel ministering unto him. So therefore, regardless of where we are protected by the Spirit. We are guided by the Spirit and the angel are taking care of you while the battle is on. Mark is telling you the credibility is established. When we look at the book of Acts, one verse in Acts. Acts chapter 4. Verse 13. It is said, when they saw the boldness of Peter. Acts chapter 4 verse 13. It's amazing. It's amazing how God gives you the credibility. Because verse 13 said, and I'm reading it, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant people, they marveled. That's the King James Version. They marvel, for they recognize them for being with Jesus. My brother and my sister, what more than you want? What else do we want? The credibility is established. They are unlearned, but yet the doctors of the law recognize that they have knowledge more than them because they were with Jesus. Their ignorance is being erased. Jesus is the great eraser. He erased.
Thank you, God. Thank you.
He make you, he give us a new identity. Wherever we go, wherever we stand, we can stand on our feet and raise our hand in the name of Jesus. Because he has cleared the path.
Yes, yes.
For when we open our mouth, people will listen. I contend this morning that we Christians, we can use that power. We can use that power to influence our community. We can use our power to engage and bring unity in our community. Instead of us looking at our young men with their pants all the way down, we can bring it back. We can bring them to their understanding.
That's right.
I work at the prison. And one of the things we all believe is that those young men at the prison, it is a belief, are hardcore criminals and they are done. And I can tell you from personal experience, they are my sons. And I said it for DOC to hear, for DOC to know, they are my sons. And they are my son for one and one reason only. Because of the grace of Jesus Christ. When these young men that we think are highly disrespectful, when you find them over there, only one thing, that the best individual you are going to meet are those over there, because they all love their mother, all without exception. That the first thing you would hear is their mother, and yet someone have love in their heart, and I'm going to discard him as no good when he can show love and express love for Jesus Christ in that passage. Just look at the passage where he gives us credibility. What did he say to us when we have our prayer of consecration? It is in the midst of that that we have to go and do what we have to do for whatever we do for the least of those. I am with you. For the least. He doesn't ask us to do too many or too much. It is contingent upon you and I. So Mark is teaching you and I a very good lesson this morning. That ministry is not here only. No, here we come to sharpen one another. Here we come to worship God together as one body. Here we come to rejuvenate ourselves, not only in time of trouble, but any time, regardless of what come our way. Diseases come our way. Sicknesses come our way. We have to come and fellowship with one another. Because we are there to bless one another. Don't be afraid of the strange time. Don't be afraid of those who are claiming that they know when the time is ending and make you scared of speaking and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Mark lets you and I know that Jesus the Christ, he is the overseer of the overcomer. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. He is the one. He has been tested. So you will be tested. You will be tested. And lastly, Mark put a word in his passage. It is the word wilderness. The wilderness is what we call a mentality. That's what it symbolizes. For the Hebrew, it is a place. For us, it is a mentality. It is a mentality that we have come to believe something is not good. It is a mentality that we have come to stay away from certain things. Mark, in this one, lets you know, in the wilderness, mankind cannot survive of his own. I need Deacon Poole. I need Deacon Ross. I need Pastor. I need my sister. I need my brother. We cannot survive on our own. We need one another. For the wilderness is barren. There is no water. There is no food. So when Shiloh leave here and go to Haiti, they don't go on vacation. It is not a place you go on vacation. I don't go to Haiti. No lie to you. I went to Haiti because my wife forced me to go. So she went with me. That's how I went twice. But I don't go. If it's for me, no. But Shiloh, I've heard the call and go. And when they go, it's the place to sleep, the place to rest. They don't care about it, but they care about what God has called them to do. This morning, for the sake of time, I would say that I stopped by to let you know that ministry happens in the midst of danger. And it is not in the comfort of ourselves, but it is in the risk that God has called you to do. It is the risk that Mother Stewart has taken at 90 years old, went to a place where she doesn't even know what to expect. But God is the great provider. May he bless you, may he guide you, may he protect you.